Good afternoon. This is Carol Bond with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated May 10th, 2016. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with this article by Tony Reed. The headline is Decatur Woman Dies in Cop Car Collision as Police Hunt Gunman, and the dateline is Decatur. A Decatur woman died early Sunday after her vehicle collided with an Illinois State Police squad car rushing to assist in the hunt for a Mahomet suspect who had allegedly shot and wounded a police officer. State police said the trooper was northbound on Oakland Avenue at 11 p.m. Saturday with lights and siren activated on his way to Interstate 72 when Kelly E. Wilson allegedly pulled out in front of him at the intersection with Harrison Avenue. Police say the squad car was unable to avoid striking the driver's side of Wilson's vehicle, the impact of the collision causing massive damage as it injured both drivers. Wilson was rushed to Decatur Memorial Hospital, where the 26-year-old mother of two was later pronounced dead at 1:07 a.m. Sunday. The 53-year-old trooper was hospitalized, and an update on his condition was not available Sunday night. Wilson was alone in the vehicle. The crash remained under investigation Sunday as police from multiple jurisdictions continued their hunt for the gunman. State Police Director Leo Schmitz issued a statement Sunday expressing remorse for Wilson's death. Quote, "At this difficult time, the Illinois State Police extends its sincerest condolences to her family and continues to investigate this crash," Smitch said. Quote, "Our thoughts and prayers are with her family and the ISP trooper." The gun battle in Mahomet that had provoked a wide police response involved a suspect later identified as Dracy C. Pendleton, 35, of Bellflower, who police continued to hunt Sunday and described as armed and dangerous. Mahomet police say Pendleton had been pulled over in the village about 10:45 p.m. for a minor traffic offense. It's not clear exactly what happened next, but at some point a physical confrontation ensued with Mahomet police officer Jeremy Charlot, who received a blow to the head and tried to subdue Pendleton with a shot from a stun gun. Mahomet Police Chief Mike Metzler, quoted in local media, said Pendleton then opened fire with a handgun, hitting Charlot in the arm. Charlot returned fire and likely hit the suspect. Bloodstains were found in a nearby house into which he ran. He came outside again with a rifle, believed to be an AK-47, and opened fire again before fleeing in a truck. That vehicle was later found crashed into the gates of a business near Mahomet called Mid-America Sand and Gravel. A white pickup truck is now missing from the business, and Mahomet police say they believe Pendleton stole it to make his escape. Charlot was released after treatment at a hospital. State police said Pendleton is being sought for the attempted murder of Charlot, 35, and have warned the public to be on their guard. Police believe Pendleton may be forced to try and seek treatment for his gunshot wound. An extended family member told the Associated Press that Pendleton had recently moved out of his home after separating from his wife. Jack Dolahan said that Pendleton, his grandson's half-brother, works as a contractor and is a father of two sons, both younger than 2 years old. Pendleton is described as 5 feet, 10 inches tall, 155 pounds, with blue eyes and blonde hair. Anyone with information about him can call 217-384-TIPS or go to www.373tips.com. And there are two Associated Press photographs accompanying this article, one showing an Illinois State Police crime scene technician who is processing the scene where the police officer was shot Saturday night in Mahomet. The main article on the front page is actually a feature article by Tony Reed, and the dateline is Taylorville. Headline, Dog Butkus an Easy Rider. It's just a doggone shame when a member of the family can't get around like they used to. Take 10-year-old Butkus, for example. The big Newfoundland mix's owner, Lauren Podlinsek, frequently does. Despite expensive and extensive treatments, Butkus has been left with a medical condition that makes getting around a challenge. The dog's wobbling frame won't let him go for any long walks, but the enormous black hound, named for the legendary Chicago Bears linebacker, knows how to do an end run around adversity. He wakes Podlinsek every morning so she can chauffeur him for his 6:15 daily drive. They hop into a green Dodge van bought especially for his use. His previous Pontiac Grand Am was totaled in a deer collision in November, and set off. Podlinsek isn't sure how many miles they zip around town, but she says she must drive the same route or Butkus gets upset. He likes to ride shotgun and won't tolerate cutting corners to try and rush the trip. Like Ralph Waldo Emerson, Butkus believes life is a journey, not a destination. "Oh, no, we have to go for about 25 minutes," says Podlinsek, a former junior high school literature and social studies teacher, married to Jim Podlinsek, who is also a soft touch when it comes to dogs. His wife, who retired 4 years ago from teaching, had actually thought she would be able to sleep in until the decadent time of 7 a.m., instead of getting up at 5:30 a.m. as when she was working. "But now I get up at 6 a.m. every day," said Podlinsek, 68. "That's when Butkus wakes me." Butkus is a rescue dog, as is Lola, the Podlinsek's fully ambulatory border collie, and Serena, their equally able-bodied cat. Lauren Podlinsek says the couple have had many pets over the years, but none quite like Butkus. Quote, "He's got the Butkus temperament to a T and wants everything his way," she says. "Oh my God, I'll never name another dog after a football player. Butkus is just too smart for his britches." Back when they had the Pontiac, his travel history included figuring out how to adjust the wiper speed to make them swish to and fro faster. Quote, "So he could see better," explains Lauren. He also figured out which button to press to lock the doors and once locked her out, and even how to turn the engine off and sound the horn. Quote, I was at the vet's early one morning to pick up medicine, and all of a sudden I heard the horn, Podlinsek recalls. And then it wasn't very long before the horn goes off again. The vet said, "I think you've been in here too long. Butkus wants to go for his ride." And yep, that's what it was. That dog figured out if he sounded the horn, I would come. He hasn't mastered all the controls in the new van yet, but is enjoying the bigger space. As, accompanied by his trusty co-pilot, they roam the happy highways where Butkus once walked, but cannot walk again. The big dog cruiser is such a familiar sight that stops along the way have grown used to seeing them and make provision for their visits. Quote, "They give him milk bones at the drive-up at First Mid-Illinois Bank and Trust," said Podlinsek, who usually brings Lola as well to also get a treat. Podlinsek says she's tried buying her own milk bones, but Butkus won't eat them from her. On one occasion at the Walgreens prescription drive-up, another place where they dispense free milk bones, the dynamic duo pulled up to find the milk bone cupboard bare. Butkus leaned over and almost got his head out the window to make sure they saw him, recalls his owner. He was devastated. Podlinsek's friend, Carol Alexander, says Butkus also gets taken through the McDonald's drive-thru for treats after enduring any tough medical procedures, and he's had a few. She says he wolfs down 4 regular burgers, he's watching his weight and doesn't always eat the pickle, and says the kindness lavished on this dog's life would give anyone pause, and he spells it P-A-W-S, pause for thought. Quote, "This is the first time I've heard of such a routine and dedicated devotion to a dog's needs," Alexander said. She says the adorable Butkus deserves a bigger audience on his car rides and would like to see him featured on the Late Late Show with James Corden. She sees Butkus going for a spin in the segment where Corden takes stars out for a ride and sings karaoke with them. Quote, "Corden's done carpool karaoke with Adele and Justin Bieber and Mariah Carey," Alexander says. "Couldn't you just see Butkus in that passenger seat?" In the meantime, Butkus continues to pluck at the heartstrings of his sympathetic owners and wants for nothing. He has bologna mixed with his dog food in the mornings because he likes it, and pork steak mixed with his dog food in the evenings because he also likes that. Podlinsek says the dog may immediately be taking, may ultimately be taking her for a ride, but it's hard not to love a big, furry critter with a limp who takes such a big bite out of your heart. "Yes, we spoil him," she admits, and then laughs. "I've got a teacher friend who said, 'When I die, I want to come back as one of your animals, no doubt about it.'" There are 3 very sweet photos accompanying this article. It turns out that Lauren Podlinsek has been taking her dog for these morning drives for the past 9 years, so this is not a new thing. And there's one picture of the dog's face being reflected in the side view mirror. He's indeed a large and very beautiful black dog. And you can tell that Lauren, who is driving the car, really, really adores this dog. We turn now to page 3, where Valerie Wells has written another article about education. And the headline is, for this one, "Well-Traveled Bee Teaches." Betsy is a busy bee. the plush toy mascot of Janine Edrington's fourth grade class at South Shores School, has traveled to Scotland, Australia, New Zealand, Hawaii, Texas, and Mexico with Edrington's longtime friends, Jeff and Bonita Amanda. "I don't really know how it started," Bonita Amanda said. "We've been friends for years, and we were just talking." Much like the favorite elementary school class project, Flat Stanley, where people take photos of a boy made of paper in various locations and students track his travels, Betsy's adventures with the Amendas provided the fourth grade class with vicarious trips, photos, Facebook chats and videos, and even souvenirs. Quote, "We brought Lay's back to them from Hawaii," Bonita Amanda said. "We always try to do some little thing like that." From Scotland, they delivered tea and cookies, and most of the students, as well as Edrington, had never drunk hot tea before, though it's a staple in the British Isles. After each trip, they drop by the classroom to show photos and tell stories about their travels. And in between visits, Edrington uses their latest adventure as a jumping-off point for units about the history, geography, and culture in the area they're visiting. Edrington held an impromptu verbal quiz in her class Thursday when the Amendas visited with tales of their latest journey to Texas and Mexico. "What's the name of the native peoples of Australia?" Hands shot up all over the class, and the answer is Aborigines. "Who's Shrek?" "A sheep who ran away to avoid being sheared and stayed gone for 6 years. When he was found, his wool was cut off and it was enough to make 20 men's suits. Shrek also got to meet the country's prime minister." Another question. "What's the name of the ship that serves as a tomb for its crew that died in the attack on Pearl Harbor?" "I know it's a state," said Joey McGinn. After some discussion, the class agreed it was the Arizona. The Amendas are retired and have always been keen travelers, Bonita Amanda said. Betsy B. traveled in her purse or in Jeff Amanda's camera bag, and they took photos with Betsy posed in front of landmarks and famous places. The connection with the Amendas provided a ready-made way to make the study of the various countries real and fascinating, Edrington said. Also on page 3, we find this article of local interest. DMH makes parking spots for servicemen, and the writer is Justin Kahn. Tim Stone, Decatur Memorial Hospital president and CEO, was in his office when he was called out to meet some surprise visitors. The operator calls and says, this is a quote, "There are some special guests here at the front desk," Stone said. "I walk out there and there are two guys from the U.S. Army in full uniform standing there. I'm thinking, I'm too old to be recruited." The two servicemen, it turned out, were recruiters, but they were headed north on U.S. 51 on their way to Peoria. They saw the yellow ribbon DMH had hung on a sign at the intersection of McKinley Avenue and U.S. 51 that read, "We support our troops," and told Stone they wanted to identify who was responsible for the placement of the ribbon and tell them how much it meant to them. Stone, an Air Force veteran, had come up with the idea. Quote, They said they just wanted to shake the man's hand who's responsible for that and to tell them, God bless you, thank you, and it's a privilege to be of service, Stone said. I started getting kind of teary-eyed. These are guys who had both recently been in the you-know-what, as we used to say, in the Air Force. Quote, it occurred to me after meeting those guys that we could do a little more. I wanted to do something for members of our workforce who are in the National Guard, active Guard Reserve, active duty, or veterans and their families. So we created this special area where we have these little yellow ribbons for our employees and their family members who are serving or have served in recent conflicts. A few days later, during a trip to a medical facility in St. Louis, he noticed some parking spots designated specifically for active members and veterans of the armed services. With the chance meeting with the servicemen in Decatur still fresh in his mind, he decided to do the same at Decatur Memorial. In March, signs were put up in parking lots all around the hospital, designating spots for current and former military personnel. Quote, a lot of veterans don't get around like they used to, Stone said. I thought it would be a good thing to do for them. Harry Pardue is a 70-year-old Army veteran who volunteers at DMH, transporting patients in wheelchairs to different parts of the hospital. Parked in one of the veteran-slash-active military spots in Lot I on the corner of Hay and Edward Streets, Pardue listened as Stone told the story of why he chose to have these designated spots. Quote, you did good, sir, he told Stone. This is fantastic, said Pardue, who served in the Army from 1965 to 1968, and again from 1975 to 2001. Quote, it's good for DMH to let people who are or were in the military know they are appreciated. A photograph shows Army veteran and hospital volunteer Harry Pardue with Decatur Memorial Hospital President Tim Stone, and they're standing by one of these signs that have been specially created. The sign says, Veteran and Military Personnel Parking Only. Then there's a picture of the American flag. And these words, thank you for your service. The president of the hospital is dressed very formally in a black suit with a flag pin on his lapel. And with him is Mr. Pardue wearing his cap that says Vietnam Veteran, and it has a number of decorations on the cap. He also has a flag lapel on his lapel and is wearing a bright orange coat, perhaps something to do with his service as a Decatur Memorial Hospital volunteer, although I'm not certain of that. The next article is Fleming Leaving Children's Museum, written by Justin Kahn. Saturday's Children's Museum of Illinois Duck Derby was bittersweet for Kate Fleming. Fleming was with the museum for more than 4 years and served as executive director on an interim basis twice before landing the job in June 2015. Saturday was her last day. Fleming is starting a new job at Millikan University as program coordinator in the Center for Entrepreneurship. Quote, it's hard to leave a place you love, she said. She was hired in 2012 as the Children's Museum's marketing and fundraising coordinator and served as interim executive director before Nicole Bateman, who was hired for the position. When Bateman left to become the Community Marketing Manager for Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County in April 2015, Fleming was again appointed Interim Director. 2 months later, she was hired as Executive Director. Fleming said the job at Millikan was a closer match to her focus while at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, where she earned her master's in nonprofit management. Quote, "My background is arts management, and when I saw that position at Millikan, it meshed really well with my academic background," she said. "I'm excited to be working with the arts, but also still community members. I'll be promoting entrepreneurship in student ventures, so this was a great training ground for me as far as helping them work through what types of problems they may come across in their ventures." Children's Museum Board President Betsy Tanner said the position would be advertised and said the board hoped to be doing interviews by June. Quote, "Last time the job was open, we had over 30 resumes, and we've already had several people in the community express interest," Tanner said. "The big thing with the job is the museum is not only the educational aspect and the curriculum, but it's also a business. We need someone who can wear multiple hats." Rachel France will serve as interim executive director. Quote, "Rachel is willing to bridge that gap until we find someone," Tanner said. "I know Rachel. She's someone who has expressed interest in owning her own business. She's willing to do it on an interim basis because she's scheduled to move to St. Louis at the end of the summer. There'll be plenty for France and whoever becomes the new executive director to oversee. The Children's Museum is in the process of adding new exhibits outside the building." Tanner said the exhibits will be ready in mid to late June. "I'm excited to see who they bring in," Fleming said. "Hopefully, I've started enough projects, programming, and relationships that they can continue to build on. Nicole Bateman did a lot during her time here, and I think the museum as a whole has done a lot in 4 years. It was a fun time for me." A photograph shows a person dressed up in a duck suit greeting visitors at the annual Duck Day Derby, which is a fundraiser for the Children's Museum of Illinois. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the May 10th issue of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.